just take a minute, okay? You have something to say. I have something to say. All right, so let's just talk, okay?
Let's get it then.
Quiet down now. It is time to watch the show. Yes, it started. Don't be licking me no more. Matter of fact, could you get me a handy why?
With their powers combined, they become pop culture. With their powers combined, they become Jim and Them, the greatest podcast in the world.
Cut some papers, you bitches.
This is a comedy show.
And we taking over the industry. We taking over the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's make something amazing happen right now.
I just suck at everything I do.
Corey Feldman here.
I just suck at everything I do.
There's Corey whining again, huh? It's everybody else's fault.
I don't have a vagina. Low serve ill. I just suck at everything I do. It's a complete mystery why anybody would pay money to see it. Low serve ill.
Corey Feldman here.
I have nothing left except Spider-Man.
Yo, what it do? What it do? Welcome, everyone. This, my friends, is Jim and Them. This is a Corey Feldman show.
The joke is on.
You know what I was thinking? I mean, we may have already achieved this, but I was thinking this week, I was like, we're on the path to be the internet's biggest haters.
Yeah. I mean, we've been training for 18 years.
We've been training for quite a while. We want to be the biggest haters, but it's for a great cause. Hating
Jim,
Corey Feldman. Yeah.
I don't think you've ever met someone that doesn't like a comic book movie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Have you ever...
Are we bigger haters than Star Wars haters?
Yeah, I was gonna say, have you ever met someone that doesn't love the newest Star Wars property?
To be fair, those haters, though, are huge fans of Star Wars. Does that mean we're also by default technically huge fans of Corey Feldman?
Well, we're huge fans of people, and Corey's a bad version of that. He's a bad person.
That's right.
And
yes.
So that's why we're like, what? Oh, we want a better person.
You know, I celebrate his early work, you know, go for
Ascension
it.
Millennium.
You know, his early stuff.
I celebrate his early stuff like Walk.
Yeah.
And
Devilish Deborah.
There's another the song he plays at the end. I'm trying to pull deep cuts these days.
Oh, Poop is Pee.
Yeah, Pee is Poop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I still don't even know what that's called.
Welcome, everyone. This is Jim and Them. We are live every Friday, 7-ish Pacific time. On twitch.tv/Jim and Them. And of course, the Jim and Them YouTube. Shout outs to the motherfucking real ones in the motherfucking chat.
Jim, I don't believe for one second the real ones showed up until you proved me wrong.
Well, I will prove you wrong. We got in the Twitch chat, we got DB Deathlord, we got Stax, we got Hugo. In the YouTube chat, we got Captain EO, we got Jimbo. We got Anthony L. shouting out some low-serve ill.
Whoa!
Vinyl Horror. Let's fucking go, everybody.
Charlie. Sounds like some damn real ones.
And hey, spoiler alert. I know, like, you start to wonder, hey, is this Corey Well ever going to dry up? It's like, no, we're in the fucking, the mighty Mississippi, ladies and gentlemen.
People have been asking us for, what, 9 years that we've been talking about him? Is it ever going to dry up? And it never truly does.
We just frack for more when we can't find any more. Like, all right, let's just check out his cameo. Okay, 500 bad cameos, perfect. We have one.
Well, and I mean, especially, I mean, as we've been talking about, it is low serve ill season.
Low serve ill.
And
the changing of the leaves.
Sometimes I like to go out in the forest just this time of year, just a low serve ill.
So, I mean, the hits keep on hitting, but also I believe it's like tomorrow night's the last night of the tour.
Oh, shit.
So I already started thinking like, oh, man. I'm going to miss Loserville, you know?
I don't even know what the fuck Loserville is.
Well, so is Corey, because he's going to be like, fuck, I need to pay my rent. I got a cell phone bill. I gotta get gas.
I gotta fucking get rid of these Funko Pops.
Yeah.
You know what's great? And I feel like we didn't think about this at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a few commenters on our videos that are like, I really wonder what low servile is supposed to mean. And you know what? I guess I just immediately was like, oh, it's a stupid Corey thing. But you're right. Do you think if you asked him, like, well, hey, what do you mean by that? Do you think he would have some sort of answer on?
Well, it's a twofold answer.
All right.
It's Corey. So we know that he just was like, I'm not a loser. I'm not going to be on that. It's something else. But then you ask him and he will badly come up with a response out the top of his head because he's Corey that will make no sense and just like leave you scratching your head as you walk away.
Well, if anyone ever feels bad, the chat brings up a good point.
Yes.
She said, my sister feels bad about him, and I'm quick to remind her about his sex cult.
Yeah.
And
this guy's evening, cowards.
Yeah. His sex cult and his 7 GoFundMe.
Yeah, never feel bad for this junkie puppet.
Yeah,
that is a great point, because sometimes people will come in, they're like, you know, just leave him alone. He's just having fun. He's not hurting anyone.
He's hurting a lot of people.
And it's like, yeah, how quickly we forget that he was trying to pitch himself as this Hugh Hefner type. Mm-hmm. And there have been reports from some of his former angels that were kind of like, he would starve us and underpay us and, you know, lie to us all the time. And mm-hmm. he'd like, he found people in bus stations. Like, it's the classic Hollywood creeper guy that's like trolling runaways and shit. Like, oh, come into my house. I'll help you.
Yeah, a limo drives by, rolls down. It's Corey's freakish head sticking out.
Hey, where are you headed?
You look like an angel.
If you don't think Corey's ever hurt someone, watch a video of him talking when his wife is next to him and she says anything at all.
Oh, yeah. I guess he'll get annoyed about it, too.
You watch him like, he's like, you see a rage behind those eyes that you know that were the camera not on, a fist would meet skin.
Oh, this is a great comment already.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't sure if I was going to go to his Twitter, but I figured, you know what? I saw a couple choice tweets today scrolling through his feed or within the past few days, so we might as well pull a few up.
What a dickhead.
Yeah, because some guy's like, hey, I'm taking my daughter to the show Tuesday night at White River Amphitheater. My friend said he'd pay for my VIP ticket if I could get his 3 photos signed. Would that be okay? And he's like, I'm sorry. I only signed 1 personal item per guest. Unless it's merch purchased from my merch booth at the show. And no, we don't have Goonies stuff.
Yeah.
Now, can
they
I
said
play,
cease and desist.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Sure.
My guess Corey's would advocate. Be... Yeah. Yeah, can I play Corey Feldman's advocate? My guess would be that that is a very common practice for people that
for
sign
sure.
stuff.
Yep.
And I know that we, like, our opinion of Corey means that we're going to read that as like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You
well, because, he's saying that, because right. we know him. Yes. But you're right. I think devil's advocate, you do have to set some sort of limit because I'm sure people will show up with a ton of shit. But let's also keep in mind, this isn't necessarily like, I'm doing a quick like meet and greet at the show.
Exactly.
This is a $220 VIP thing.
Yeah,
he goes all out.
So I bet the beginning is fairly normal, but I do think that last sentence is probably, it should be read derisively because that's probably how he
well,
meant
and
it.
What if they brought their Corey box set? I bet he would sign that shit. It's just because it's Goonies stuff. He hates any time he's reminded of like the good stuff he did.
What if he brought two? Well, no human in the world has 2 love point.
Love 2.1.
Except for Corey himself.
Well, he has 2 because he released it twice.
He's the only one.
But also, I mean, like you said, he doesn't want to like sign Goonies shit. Because we're going to get into that because I actually have some clips from, he was on Hey Dude, the 90s called, which is a podcast hosted by, what's her name, Christine Taylor? Remember the show Hey Dude?
Ben Stiller's wife?
Yeah, because she was on Hey Dude.
She was on Hey Dude, yeah.
Her and the guy from Hey Dude, it's a bizarre podcast they have. It sounds like it's a Hey Dude podcast because it's Hey Dude, the 90s called, but it's they talk about Hey Dude and then they're like, we're just talking about the 90s.
Okay.
They had Corey on. And spoiler alert, he doesn't want to talk about the 90s.
What? Wait, so were you a Melody or a Brad guy?
What was Melody Christine Taylor?
Yeah. Brad was the
Wait, brunette. Which one I want to have sex? Oh, okay. I was like, wait, is Brad a guy?
Girl
That's
guy.
What I thought.
No, Brad was the like...
I didn't even remember Brad, so I'm she a Melody guy.
I don't
apparently.
Know if I'd call her a tomboy, but compared to Melody, she was a tomboy.
Now that you say that, I do remember now. Okay.
Yeah.
Because she was the one that was like, I like riding horses, but yes. Melody was the like, oh,
it's sweaty out here.
I broke a nail.
I don't know. It was
didn't
like
watch
a Nick
Hey
show?
Dude? Well, I guess you're young enough for Hey Dude might have been past your time.
I just suck at everything I do.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that. Yeah, that's for the members.
Oh, and it made a good point. Bring Jim and them merch for him to sign.
Oh yeah,
one personal item.
Imagine if you brought Jim and them merch to sign. Yeah, that would be great.
Imagine thinking that Corey is involved in any way with the people that are walking up to him and would even pay attention to what's put in front of him.
We need Corey merch. Why
you know, he would just be like, ah, this poo cast.
Yeah,
I can't believe you brought this poo cast.
He'd pay attention to how many items you hand him, but not what you were handing him.
And also, another one of his sets got canceled because of lightning, apparently.
Dude. This is insane that only his sets, and it's always rain or lightning.
Yes.
Well, and someone, I think it was during one of our premieres, someone was talking about he got rained out of a place that has a roof.
Well, a lot of these places are technically covered where the stage is. I guess... Again, if we're playing, we give him a lot of credit for people that talk about how we're the biggest haters. We're always like looking at what the benefit of the doubt would be.
Yeah.
And then he always dashes it against the rocks.
Like, I think I'd said this before. I could maybe see because, like, how you pointed out, Jeff, he's basically at the very edge of the stage because everything else, like for the important acts, is there. So that's maybe why I could see they're like, since you're performing like right there, you can't perform.
It's pretty modern for concerts nowadays is instead of like taking a big chunk of time between every set, it's like have all of it set up and then all they do is pull that stuff off and then curtains open and then the next thing and then a banner raises and then the next thing.
I like to think that they just have the craft services table on stage. Yeah. It's just the cast and crew back there eating pizza. No, we can't move it, Corey. It's the craft service area right now.
I have noticed more people. I don't think they're bidding. I think they're legit asking about his wife, and he you could tell he's kind of annoyed. Wait, unless I'm a complete doofus and totally misunderstood you, are you meaning you and Courtney are no longer a thing? Or you coming to the States is no longer a thing? I'm confuzzled here. And he's like, we're divorced.
Wait, I thought his whole thing was that they weren't getting a divorce and that everybody misunderstood him.
That was his initial thing. We never followed up on that, but she was coming after him for alimony, so he must hate that.
Dude, so do you think she loves us?
She probably loves us, I imagine. Well, because someone else is like...
even though we're always calling her a man.
Vegas person, we're in Vegas. Hey, when are you going to make it to Vegas Way? I haven't seen you in like 34 years. Would love to say hi and meet Courtney. And he's like, you'll have to go to Canada for that, LOL. We're no longer a thing.
Damn, shipped her ass back to Canada.
That's right. He did marry her for her citizenship. Remember, he made like a big deal about that?
Weird.
Because he was like, it was like when Trump was going to get elected, and he's like, we don't know. Trump might kick her out of the country.
I like this reply to the rain out. Maybe God hates you? And he says, maybe?
Well, I'd like to read that as maybe. Like, he's positive God hates him.
Yeah.
I think someone was like wondering about the after party, but he said that was a one-time thing. There was some other really like annoying,
but you're telling me that
response he had.
Fred Durst didn't want to pull a bunch of strings to have a concert full of three fans and a bunch of everybody's friends.
Look at the sad Batman one. That one's good. So where do I get my refund? We came to see you, SMH. This sucks.
As long as the headliner plays, they won't give a refund for the lowly opener. We are at the bottom of the food chain.
I can't believe he admitted that.
Real, yeah, that's the realest he's ever been.
But he's doing it in anger.
Sorry, we just pulled up a picture of his sad face.
He looks at just like you doing the over the top frown. I think the only reason he can only admit that because he's like doing it like, yeah, I guess fuck us, right? Because he would never admit it for any other reason.
I thought there was one other annoying response that he had. Now, someone asked about his politics. He stands in the middle. He did mention, I guess we skipped past it, but in his Howie Mandel podcast, they've been putting out a clip where he's talking about maybe running for president. I mean, I assume he's joking.
I mean, it's hard to say what.
Oh, I never know when the joke is on me.
No, here's what it was. Because someone's like, in honor of seeing Corey Feldman open the show tonight, I'm making some Corey Feldman angel wings. Smoking for a bit, then cranking the heat. Just go for it and add some pictures of the wings he's making. He's like, if they're in my honor, they should be hashtag vegan wings.
What? The times he decides to use a hashtag, there is like some invisible science there that I will never fully understand.
Well, and the times he chooses to be a dickhead is every
it's
time.
Like, I understand if you're a vegan or whatever, but just be like, oh, that's cool. Like, it
thanks,
stinks.
Dude. You, go for it.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be cool that someone sounds like they're legitimately a fan and they're like, making these wings in your honor.
Jim,
excited for the show.
Classic Corey is, I'm mad at you if you're not my fan, and I'm mad at you if you like me the wrong way.
Yeah,
he hates,
that's
the
true.
Only thing he hates more than like not liking him at all is liking him the wrong way.
Oh my God.
Just watching him dance.
I like that Corey retweeted this because he thinks that it's not a goof.
Yeah. Yeah, he's playing guitar solo. But also, I mean, there was some mishaps at the Phoenix show. The Phoenix show potentially could have been the one that was the closest to us.
Yeah.
Good evening, cowards.
The Phoenix show, I mean, we are cowards because we probably should have went, but that would have been like a 5-hour drive
Corey.
Well,
we're just about to go
to
Japan.
The whole way.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's the same reason I say that it's funny to joke about going to the gathering, but actually going would suck.
No, it would be
so funny to joke about going to a Corey show, but when we were actually there, it would be a fucking bummer.
It would be funny for like a few minutes, but then, you're
right. Yeah, let's drive to Phoenix for a 3-minute goof.
But someone in the YouTube comments mentioned to check out the Phoenix show, so which I found a few videos, and I kind of cut some of these together of the opening here. So we get some different, like at least, two different angles.
Tasty.
This is the intro, which I guess he does have this like video package play. That's like, he started his career 3 years old, child megastar, whatever.
Yeah, everyone in the front row is buying VIP tickets right now for his after show.
This is like movie trailer music playing.
Good cadence to that one sentence.
He was a musician at 3 years old.
I would recognize that gangly band of schlubs anywhere. That's Corey's band.
You know, someone else was saying that his not the cowboy guitar player or bass player. Is that what a bass player there?
Yeah,
with the cowboy hat.
The cowboy pirate bass player.
The other guy, the guitar player. Uh-huh. Someone said that he's like a guy that's lived in Corey's guest house for like over a decade.
Hell yeah.
He's just like a classic, that guy that lives off of some, you find like a Hollywood guy.
That tracks, because as long as we've been talking about him, we have seen, Corey post Angels, that guy has been there. Even as the band has filled out, it's all that guy has always been one of them post Angels.
I didn't have the video up. I have the video up now on the feed.
He's like, I can't pay rent. I'm your musical muse.
So, this is the big intro. And what they were also telling me is the guy that lives in Corey's guest house, that's actually who Heather Don May has a huge crush on. If we talk bad about him, that'll really make her upset.
Okay, that stupid loser.
Yeah, this loser, his name, we don't even know.
That one stupid loser loves a stupid loser.
So, the crowd's anxiously awaiting. We got the big intro music playing. The band's already on stage. We're waiting for the comeback king to come up. To his credit, people have their phones out to film because of the goof. Everyone wants that goof.
They're excited for the music,
that's
Jim.
That's true.
Weird choice by the drummer. A denim jacket in Phoenix during the summer.
The goof is on you. Damn, look at that. He shaves his chest.
Yeah, that guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Corey Feldman.
What? Just some little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, a 12-year-old.
But look, where is he?
No, someone played a note too soon.
Yeah. Where is he?
Is he stuck behind the thing?
Wait, is he going to get lowered from the rafters like Sting?
No way.
Look, everyone's waiting.
Oh, I'm taking a shit.
The guitar player is really regretting going, wow, wow.
Thank God this Marshall stack has great sustain.
Is he waiting for the crowd to react?
I mean, he kind of, well, we'll see. Because I was like, you know what? I can't even edit this down. We need to get the full experience of him making the crowd wait.
All right, I'm going to play another chord. Come out.
At least it'll be worth it when he runs out to no reaction.
Because even the band, they're kind of like looking around like, where is he?
Because he's always fucking off and they don't know why.
He loves leaving them out to dry. Sure.
And he's going to yell at them.
They're never on the same page and it's usually his fault. Dude, imagine, dude, why is it every single show this thing happens?
When I saw this video, I was like, damn, maybe people are right, and he is in on the bit. Even though I know that's not true.
Jim, but I'm ashamed of you.
I at least understand, because it's like, how? How is it another thing? And I was like, oh, yeah, because it's fucking Low Serville season. So, of course, he's doing a regular tour, so things are going to happen every single day. I do feel like part of it is he does want the crowd to do this, like you're saying, Mike.
Yeah, like he wanted some type of reaction.
He thinks he's fucking Axl Rose or some shit.
Guitar player's like wiggling his fingers. He's like, I can only do this for so long.
They're still kind of looking around like, okay.
He's in his hyperbolic chamber relaxing. The stagehand's like, where is he?
Yeah, the keyboard lady's still like, where is he?
Oh, he's eating a salad.
Where's that old man that comes out? Oh, so yeah, I have two views here now.
He's in the back eating a taco salad.
Yeah!
There he is.
He's pissed.
He's mad. Yeah, see?
Whoa, what? Corey arrived and he was angry?
He comes out mad.
He couldn't have come out at like the least hype. Part of that, sure. The hype had all died down, and then he comes out yelling.
It's uncanny that he's always delayed or late, and then pissed about it.
And then he's mad. Remember when he was remember before his fucking cafeteria show when he was like, don't take yourself so serious. It's just music, man. Come on,
dude. Why can't he hide his anger? just play your dumb show and then be mad about it in like 40 minutes from now.
He is gonna do his classic thing where he needs to explain to the crowd that something's not working.
I had diarrhea.
Good lord.
The band all fucked this up somehow. You fucking piece of shit.
Look, he's mad. All right, he's annoyed.
So mad.
Punches her.
He puts his hands up to give the crowd a little bit, but he's kind of giving his band a talking to.
He's dressing everyone down.
Well, hello, Loserville.
Oh, he knows what it's called.
Sorry about the delay. As probably some of you have noticed, it's really hot today.
Okay.
So I don't normally start the show like this. If you've seen the videos on screen, you know we normally start with a comeback key. But we play that to a click track because it goes along with the video.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is good.
Yeah, Mike?
As you guys probably know, I normally do this to a click track, but it's hot.
I just had to bury my face in my hands. I know that this word gets thrown around a lot these days, and so it's like hard to say it, but he acts like an autistic person.
Because
he can't just like go with something. There's like a lack of social awareness around him where like we know that there's a production involved. We're all aware that every concert's a production and there's probably lots of things happening, but like there's always a mistake. And then he comes out and he breaks it down in such like, you know what you could say is like, sorry, everybody. But let's get this thing going. Like you say,
say nothing and just start.
Yeah,
you can ignore it or you can acknowledge it. You don't need to do whatever this is.
I mean, again, maybe he did have to communicate. He could communicate something to the band, say to the band real quick and be like, and then let's go. Let's start. You don't need to work the audience.
And it's also like, I can't wait to hear what this explanation is because like he needed a click track. He's acting like they're playing like Tool or something. The drummer not keep pace?
Well, his explanation requires you to have watched videos of previous performances on this very tour.
To know that, yeah.
Yeah,
you've probably seen the Jim and them videos of the track gets fucked up.
Yeah, I just, I don't understand why he can't just like it really is like showing up to a date and being like, sorry that my hair looks like shit. Yeah. Sorry about this zit on my forehead. Sorry that my makeup's too
just
thick.
Show like, up. You show up to a date and like, you don't want to fuck me, do you?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
You don't want to
I'm
fuck
shorter
me.
Than you expect. Like, you don't say that stuff because all you're doing is putting a giant spotlight on something that may not have even been a problem in the first place.
Yeah, the chat's saying Corey doesn't understand the show must go on. Corey understands that show must be perfect. If it isn't, I'm not doing it.
Well, it's amazing that he thinks that because even if it was perfect in his mind, it's the most biggest piece of shit we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So.
This is so obvious that it should go without saying. Corey doesn't know how to perform live because he's not a real musician who's ever done real performances. Now, he's played dive bars. He's played shows. Like, I'm not saying he's literally never played music, but
he's LARPing as a musician, basically.
Yes,
yeah.
We've said this from the beginning. When he claimed, like, oh, I told Michael Jackson no because I wanted to work my way up, he didn't actually do that. No. He started as a person who just thought, oh, I'm already this guy, and he skipped all the stuff that, like, you learn as a touring, live-playing musician, but he doesn't understand that he skipped all that, so he thinks that any of this is important and matters.
And the reason it gets fucked up, he's with a bunch of musicians, and he makes up a bunch of things that aren't music. Like, it's like, you press the button too soon. Yeah. Oh, the horn doesn't work.
Well, we get comments from people in bands all the time that are like, the number one rule is you just go, you keep going.
You roll with
it. And you can talk about it with your bandmates after the show.
I mentioned I played live, there were times where, like, just like you're into it, and then like, oh shit, I can't hear what part of the song we're in. So I'm just like stopping. I'm like,
I gotta try to catch up.
I'm gonna start clapping. I'm gonna clap and get the audience to clap, and then I'm gonna, oh, I know where we are now.
No,
time to start playing.
You shut everything down, yell at your bandmates, and explain that it's their fault that you lost track.
It's just so clear he doesn't know what he's doing, but he doesn't realize that by doing this, he's telling everybody how little he knows.
I need to see what the heat did to his click track.
Real quick, Rico in the YouTube chat, there's videos online of Corey attending these vegan cult events.
Okay.
We might have to try to find those. That sounds like a classic Corey thing. But yeah, let's see what's going on with the heat and the track.
Probably some of you have noticed it's really hot today.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't normally start the show like this. If you've seen the videos on screen, you know we normally start with a comeback cue. But we play that to a click track because it goes along with the video. We can't get the videos working. Which means I can't do the song.
What does that mean?
Well, okay, so it's hot, so they can't get the videos to work. Then there's a click track on the video that leads into the song.
Those sound like so many different things that are completely unrelated to each other
and don't matter to anybody.
Yeah,
but he was probably in the back, like yelling about them, and that's why he wasn't on stage. You know how when I like go and do my wrestling shows, how like if there's an audio issue, I just don't leave the locker room.
Oh, just stay there.
You're just like, oh, did you play the wrong music? Oh, I can't walk out. Is there no music? I can't walk out. What, am I supposed to just walk to the ring and do my match? My music didn't play.
I mean, I know we heard him like on that podcast last week, he mentioned that he does like to have the videos play, and then he has the wardrobes match.
Yeah.
So I get that's part of the show, but I feel like even if the video didn't play, why he has a band there. Just play the song.
Well, how are you going to do a song without video clip?
Yeah, very true.
Remember when
he's got the pentatonic scale, he's got a no on there, and that's in the clips. The chords are on the video. Maybe it's the chords in the video clips.
Here's the Corey logic. Do we not have a drummer? Play the song. Do we not have a video of us in playing the song? Can't play the song.
Do we only have 15 minutes up here? Use 5 minutes of it.
Yeah, can you explain?
And don't do a song.
Jesus.
Use the slot that you're going to do the song in to be a mincing mo about everything.
Do the song. So, therefore, we have to improvise this whole show.
Zip-a-dab-a-dee-da. No, you don't. You don't have to improvise anything. Just play the fucking songs that you were going to play. Play them.
But they're in for a treat now. It's even better, Mike. It's
we're
even better.
Just jam out.
He walks over, punches his drummer. Why don't you do it in the room?
So you're in for a treat because we're going to make it up as we go along.
N-word. Oh, fuck.
okay, so
So what do you guys want to hear?
Let's start off with What's Up With The Youth. You guys like that song?
No.
No.
What's Up With The Youth?
No.
What?
Well, it's an old classic of mine. I prepared it.
Well, for those that don't know.
Well.
Corey's mouth is so full of humble pie, I don't know how he can talk right now.
It's an old classic.
Even he couldn't hide in his voice, though, because, like, no reaction. Well, you know, it's an old classic, though, so we're just gonna play it anyways.
It's
then.
It's kind of a deep cut, my only single for 10 years.
They're 91 or something like that. But we changed it recently.
Yeah, he's playing that new Howie Mandel like version of it.
It's funny every time.
Oh no, his video clips must be off. There's something wrong with his video clips.
Yeah, his fucking dumbass dancing is great every
well,
time.
Yeah, I'm confused why the guitar player can play right now if there's no video.
Yeah, there's no, and the drummer doesn't have a track to play it against.
What is happening right now? This is how it is now?
Yep, this was the one they did. Wait, you were here when we watched Howie Mandel, right? Yeah, this is now, from henceforth, this is how What's Up With The Youth goes.
He calls this the cool hard rock version, Jeff.
There's no drums or bass.
They tried to. What's great is that wider shot guy that was filming, he was like, I'm done. And just stopped
what's
recording.
The point of this?
Yeah, what's the point?
Why did he, it's a wonder he even put it online.
This is like, it's like embarrassing. I don't know. But like, it sounds like the band isn't even ready.
Yeah, you should.
I'm actually mad at the band right now. Corey's the only one giving it 110%.
He should be ashamed of himself that he, that he's so unprepared and like ill-equipped to deal with anything. That
especially,
this is what happens when something, how many, in his opinion, goes
well,
wrong.
Well, especially, how many dates was this tour?
Like a dozen or two?
We're
right?
More than halfway through. I mean, it's winding down. Let me double check here. So there's already, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's the thing about touring. You never get better.
Yeah. Yeah, you never do. Well, in his
dude,
eyes.
This is the 19th. I mean, I guess you got to subtract 3 from those. Add 1 for the cafeteria concert.
But minus the 7 that acts of God prevented. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's played over 15 shows and they're still like, can't figure shit out.
But that's because this is his 16th show ever.
Yeah.
Well, it probably has like a real player that the clips on it and the place won't play as QuickTime movies.
What's up?
You know, this is in his favor, though. Because if you're not familiar with Corey, you're like, oh, wow, that was awful. He's right. They really did have to just, like, figure this out and make this up as they went along.
Okay, actually, I cut this here because, like, that's really all we have from the Phoenix show. Like, I was skimming through some of the other set, but it's like we've heard these songs a million times at this point.
Yeah.
He's playing the same dumb songs, and then he finishes with that slow song. But there was this clip of him dancing during Limp Bizkit's set later in the night. And just listen, like watch his dance and then listen to the lyrics that it goes from the song that Fred Durst is singing, like the Limp Bizkit song, because it almost feels like it's just like describing Corey in a lot of ways to me.
Oh, it's Dad Vibes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Anyways, it was more of that. I was like, it's just funny that it came in with can't live with it. And plus, if you look at the expression on his face, Fred Durst, I mean, even though I think we're probably giving Fred Durst more grace than we should. Well, no, I mean, we're giving him grace because we think he's trolling. But I do feel like Fred Durst probably legitimately likes Corey.
Fred Durst is still Corey's friend.
But
there is a level of, but the thing is, like we've said all along, Fred Durst probably said, Corey, you're a joke and people don't like you at times. You got to lean into that.
I don't think he said it to Corey's face, though.
I think he said it in so many
words.
Tried
to be nice. Yeah.
I think Fred Durst is in Limp Bizkit, a band that at times was big and at times was made fun of. And you have to, like, learn how to take the good with the bad.
And how to roll with it.
And Fred Durst was trying to teach Corey, like, take the good with the bad and kind of own it. And Corey doesn't understand that. So I think to that capacity, Fred Durst is like, dude, you got to have fun with how, like your dumb, goofy shit. But he's still like his friend.
I just love that you see Corey. The look on Corey's face while he's dancing is the look of a man that's like, I am fucking killing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When all everyone's thinking is this sucks. And then it cuts to Fred Durst and he's like, fuck it. Can't live with him. Can't live without him. And it's like, that's an ethos that Fred Durst has to live by at this point.
Jim out here acting like he's never heard dad vibes.
I don't know.
That's our relationship with Corey.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like, we need him at the top of the show.
Like, look at just this facial expression here. Fuck it. Here we go again.
Yeah, he looks like he's over it.
It just describes it. And yeah, the look on his face, like, all right, the fucking we have to bring Corey out again for the fucking circus moment of the set.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the first single off their new album when he like had that weird wig on and everything.
Was this before or after the Lil Wayne song?
After Lil Wayne's song was just a single, it wasn't on an album.
All right.
Are you talking about Ready to Go?
Yes.
Limp Bizkit aficionados like myself, we know
Limp Bizkit has a song called Dad Vibes. Gay.
Okay.
That's dumb. Yeah. They go. Did he have a song called TikTok is Riz? Why is he wearing a swastika?
It did look like a swastika for a second.
I think it looks like the thing from Lost season 2.
It does look like the Dharma Initiative.
Yeah, the Dharma Initiative.
But anyway, so yeah, moving on to more Corey stuff, because I mean, this is a Corey podcast. This is what I was talking about. This is the Hey Dude, the 90s called podcast. I went in and trimmed this down again like I did the X5 podcast.
23 minutes.
Yeah, it's still 23 minutes. And this is them having a limited time. They go over how they like have a limited time with Corey here.
Sure.
But again, so this podcast, the idea of this podcast is all 90s shit.
Sure.
Which, number one, Corey Feldman's not really 90s.
No. Yeah. He was 80s. In the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, but that's when he was washed up.
Yeah.
He was in like shit movies. Guy. He was like, what, Porky's 4 or something in the 90s?
Now, to some extent, I feel like I side a little bit with Corey in some of his reaction.
What is
here.
Your problem today?
But let
Jeff?
Me let it play out.
I mean, Jim. Sorry, Jeff. You're
now,
cool.
Don't get me wrong. This is really. I mean, we live in the cringe. Like that's where you know we're like Bane. You know, you
adopted the cringe.
We were born in the cringe. But even when I was watching this, I was like, what is he doing?
Well, he was going to be on Rogan, but he got rained out.
Yeah, there was lightning.
There was lightning.
Taylor and David Lasher.
So,
hey, everybody.
I do have a little bit of the intro as they're setting it up here.
Welcome back to Hey Dude, the 90s Call podcast. I'm David.
Hi, David. I'm Christine.
Welcome back
to the podcast, everyone. Yeah, we got an exciting one today.
Is it wrong for me to say that she can still get it?
I mean, she's
she's like 40. Ew.
She's got to be like 50, probably.
I'm gonna look up her and I'm gonna see how old Marissa Olenek is.
She was on the Brady Bunch movie.
Oh,
yeah, she was Marsha. And then
this is my childhood. You know, Corey Feldman is the guy that was in every movie when we were in our teens, you know?
I know. I mean, movies I can't imagine. I can't imagine a childhood without these movies. Mm. You know, Gremlins, The Goonies, Stand By Me, Lost Boys, Dream a Little Dream. I mean, like, and those are all 80s. I know this is a 90s podcast, but he worked nonstop through the 90s as well. And he's
probably.
Yeah, but nothing we can mention. But he, you know, he was still out there doing
Meatballs
it.
Meatballs 4.
Meatballs, Busted.
Yeah, Busted.
Oh, I said Porky's. I meant Meatballs.
Kind of taking off, like having this sort of new next chapter in his career, which is really exciting. And also, I don't think I ever saw it, but they did make a sequel to The Lost Boys.
Yeah, I had to leave that in. I thought it's so funny. She's like, yeah, I guess, I don't think I saw them, but Corey produced them.
Oh, and wasn't he like a main character in that one?
And she mentioned he produced the fucking movies, and she's like, oh, I'm not going to watch that trash.
Yeah. But he was also in, or produced. I think he produced, which I never saw, but... Anyway, we're very much looking forward to talking to him. We don't have a huge window of time, so we're going to do our best to get a lot of questions in. He's in a press junket today. Do you think he just says that about every appearance?
Apparently, this was, and I don't know how we missed this, but apparently, this is after he was on The Masked Singer.
We would have nailed that immediately.
apparently, Jenny McCarthy nails it immediately. Like, they just immediately guess that it's Corey Feldman. Like, they. Yeah. And
who could this angel be?
Do you think he's.
Seal? Who is this angel?
I think it might be either Paul McCartney mixed with Michael Jackson.
Do you think he tries to sing any different as a masked singer?
I think he just comes out in his outfit with no mask, and he's like, it's too hot. Dude. We lost the mask.
It's me. I'm the masked singer.
He pulls back his face. There's another scarier face.
We could probably pull that up after this, right?
Yeah. I purposely didn't look it up. I wanted to
Let's look it up after this.
He was just ousted. Anyway, it looks like he's here. The legendary Corey Feldman.
Yeah, let's go with Corey Feldman. Dude, what's up?
Oh, God.
Just the immediate sight of him just elicits. I mean, how could you hate this man? We're getting so much joy out of him.
Well, he looks like an indie wrestler manager. Like you know when like someone has to like throw together a character and they're supposed to look like rich and like that guy? They just dress like Corey Feldman's dressed
Well,
because
they
purpose.
Don't have a physique or anything, but they want to be a part of it. So like, I could be the scummy manager. Yes.
But Corey thought, making an appearance for this press junket better look cool.
Welcome.
Dude.
This is iconic. Iconic.
Dude, that's so cool. Thanks.
Dude.
Yeah, I put on my man sunglasses.
I know we're probably all the same age around, but I feel like I grew up with you. I feel like I know you.
So you're 22 as well?
All of us. We're all still in our 20s,
22
right?
22 is favorite number.
I know I am. I wear proof of it every day.
He fucking pulls out the 22 necklace, of course. He has to let that go.
There it is.
You see it? Can you see it? You can see it,
right?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Chain breaks and crumbles into pieces.
I don't know if you can see it. Wait, let me get a little closer. You can see that?
Oh, I thought he was doing a bit.
No, he's doing bits.
He's kind of doing a bit.
I don't know if he is.
But what's even funnier is like, when he does that, I mean, we know Corey, so we know it's his favorite number.
Yes.
But they don't know what he's doing or why he has that.
Well, it's his favorite number unless we're getting him to record something for us, and then he forgets that it's his favorite number.
He forgot that the year 2022 had his favorite number in it.
Oh, yeah. 22, baby.
That's it. That's me. That's my religion. That's where I live.
Love it.
I live in the land of 22 all the time.
This is good
which would
stuff.
Put us right.
Look, they have no idea what he's talking about.
Well, because he thinks, these guys love me.
Yeah.
They know. They must know. These two guys from Hey Dude must know as much about me as Jim and them does. Like, he could talk like this to us. Yeah.
Oh, we would know.
Yeah, we'd get it.
But what's funny, too, is I feel like they're like, he's acting like we should know what this is, so we better not ask because maybe he'd be insulted that we don't know
he
lives in the land of 22.
Won't stop showing us.
About 1991, I think, right? So there you go.
Yes.
I think we need to jump in, right?
Like, yes.
Jump on in. What you got for me? Lay it on me. Throw it on the line. Let's do this thing.
Oh, yeah. But, so
wait, is every clip of Corey that's ever been filmed about to play?
And I know I cut there. I gave the title Corey Gets Annoyed, but this is literally like the first question. Like, this is right after the 22 part. So
do you mind going back? Because like David said, you are a part of just all of us growing up, like the most iconic films.
I'll be honest with you. I know you guys are a 90s podcast, but I'm really not in talking about the same stuff I've talked about a million times. I've done that interview. So I like talking about what's new, what's fresh, what's exciting, what's current, what's relevant.
Doesn't that make no fucking sense? Yeah. Why is he on this podcast?
That's like me going on a women's podcast and they're like, hey, we'd like to ask. And I'm like, no.
I don't like talking about women.
I want to talk about myself, a man. I want to talk about my experience and my life. And they're like, you're on like a women's podcast. We were trying to get a man's perspective on that. No. I want to talk about me and men and what matters to men and things that care about men.
This is going on Hot Ones and being like, I don't like spicy food. I don't eat that.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I just want to talk.
You sit down, you're like, no, thank you.
No, I just want to chat. Is that cool?
Well, also, he's irrelevant. Yes. And so, but he's like, let's talk about the now, you know, when nothing I do matters or anyone cares about it. Come on.
So, as much as possible, I'd like to stay focused on that stuff. Once in a while we can dip, but yeah.
Yeah. Can we at least give you some kudos for some of the iconic work that you did as a kid that literally like changed our lives? And I think we just, because we get the chance.
If you must.
We must. And okay. By the way,
it doesn't make sense. You're a 90s podcast and I'm an 80s guy. I don't know why you have me here, really.
It's on them. Corey's innocent on this one.
It's kind of on them, but also like he could have talked about the 90s.
It's not weird to bring up someone who's known for something and go, can we spend 60 seconds talking about the thing you're known for before we talk about the irrelevant shit that you're involved in now?
I'm going to be honest. I don't really want to talk about that shit. I'm sick of it. Even though in any other setting we've seen him in, he's always like, the Goonies, Gremlins. Like, remember on Howie Mandel's podcast, he's like, Gremlins. Remember we were in Gremlins, Howie? That was great. Let's call up.
Because he was with like a real celebrity at that point, so he had to like act good. He's with a bunch of phonies.
If she brought Ben Stiller's ass in, because she's married to Ben Stiller, he would just kowtow immediately.
Yeah. Well, maybe he tried to be in Dodgeball and they rejected
that's what
him.
She's in Dodgeball. Yeah. That's why I know.
Maybe he tried to be in Severance and he didn't like his audition.
Yeah.
I'll get it out of the way very quickly because it's not one of the typicals, but it probably is for a certain genre. As the, like, I am the biggest horror movie fan, and I really cannot wait to talk to you about The Birthday. But Friday the 13th, the final chapter, game changer. Game changer. Okay. That was the first horror movie I got to see in the theaters. And you're amazing at it. And I just wanted to say that. I just needed to do that.
Thank
after,
you.
It's one of the best ones in the franchise.
He got shut up because he thought she was going to go, Goonies, Stand By Me, Lost Boys. What she did was she actually had something great. She's like, no, I have a personal thing that matters more to me than the obvious stuff. And look at him sitting there going like, shit. Like, I just said,
but he's
shut
also
up.
Annoyed.
Now I have to be like, thank you.
Kind of, but he clearly doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't want to talk about Friday the
13th. I love that she didn't do the obvious thing. She actually, she gave him what someone like him should want. But he can't appreciate it.
I'm sorry, just saying it. I think it's the best. I think it tops one and two.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Part three was the best, but only when it was in 3D. So
only in
3D. 3D, then it's really not the best.
Yeah, yeah.
So but you know.
they would hand you the glasses, right?
Yes, when
you
went
of course.
Actually, here's where I side with Corey, though. This part coming up, it just reminded me. As they start talking about, but listen to when they start talking about 3D movies here.
Yes, you know, David, they still do that now.
No.
Yes, it's a real thing.
The glasses have just gotten better. They've just gotten a little more secure.
No,
they stay on your head a little better.
You don't know this, David? Really?
No, dude. I haven't been to a movie theater
David
in 5 years.
David needs to fuck off. I hate him more
than
David.
Well, you know, okay, David, you know.
But even if you haven't been to a movie in 5 years, Avatar was in 2009, and that was a 3D film. It's been quite a while. Number one, I do think David sucks.
Yeah.
Number two, I think Corey already started going at David just because David's some other, you know, child star actor guy. And Corey is an alpha male. He's not going to allow another man to be involved in the interview that's going to, like, one up on him. It's similar to the whole Steel Panther situation that happened on the X5 podcast. Uh-huh. But also, David is clueless for some reason. I don't understand what he's talking about.
And Corey's stuck in teenage mode because that's where his brain stopped aging.
I just want to take
sees a pretty girl and he's like, I need to bully this other guy in front of this pretty girl.
That's dude's rocking though. Whenever if you're in a room with a girl and other men, you got to start bullying those men.
Yeah.
Every time Stella walks downstairs, I just call you a bitch.
That dude's rocking.
You throw on your women's sunglasses and you start roasting.
Right. 5 years ago, right before COVID, the biggest thing in cinema was actually 3D movies. That's when it kind of came back and that's when it was really, really big.
Yes.
Now it's a little less. But yeah, so I mean, I think that the advancements, as you were saying, in technology, that's helped with, you know, the what do they call it? It's not Polaroid. It's polarization. Yes. So that's how they're doing it now with the LED, you know, liquid clear cell glasses, where they actually are moving.
Dropping
actual
knowledge.
Movement.
Yeah,
so it's not like the old days.
No, well, he is correct, but he's correct at the home 3D level.
Yes.
He's talking like the ones that for your home have little shutters in the glasses, but he's acting like those are what they have in the theater, which,
you know, where it was just, you know, a little red and blue plastic pieces
right.
of film.
Well,
that
they're
whatever,
almost, yeah, like kind of like the eclipse glasses that we all were
right,
wearing.
Right, 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 exactly.
Couldn't stay that on
was,
your head.
That was the old school stuff.
Isn't it so funny that he didn't want to talk about like the Goonies and stuff like that, but he really wants to talk about 3D technology?
Yeah, he's getting really into home 3D TVs.
Right, old that we school. Grew up with as kids. But
yes.
now you get like the nice hard plastic ones.
Oh, yeah.
And they actually, a lot of them actually have little motors in them with little batteries, and they're shutter screens. So it's actually shuttering at like 350 clicks per second.
Let
or something.
That would bring me back to the theater for sure.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
You got to do it.
He's never seen that. There's no way he's never seen that.
This Here's, guy stinks.
Well, can I play Corey's advocate here? But
I mean, I'm already Corey. No,
we're
I'm Corey's
no,
advocate.
No advocates
we're
for
Corey
Mike.
Pilled.
I think
mute
that,
his mic.
I think that this guy doesn't give a shit that Corey's on the show, and it's clear. It's showing. Christine,
yeah.
She's trying to host the show. He looks
Although,
checked out.
The intro to the show, all he talked about, I cut it. He talks about how he's so excited
that
he loves all the movies,
but
he does. I mean, he commits some more faux pas as he asks Corey questions.
And not only that, but these days they've got 4D movies. Why am I telling him that? This is incredible. You
this
have a podcast,
David,
for God's sakes.
I'm not talking
David,
to David
get
after
with the
this.
Times, baby. Get with the
Corey,
times.
I'm stuck in the 90s, dude.
we've got 4DX, okay? 4DX is like, it's like cinema
setup.
Sense around. Where you literally, I'm not even joking, the seats move. They blow stuff at you. They put smoke in the theater. They put different fragrances in the theater.
Yeah,
they spray water on you. You never know what's going to happen.
Like I love how their setup for their podcast is just every COVID podcast.
That's
like,
what I'm
we've
saying.
We've moved past this at this point where you just have a real podcast. Or even if you have to do a Zoom thing like this, there's much better ways to do it.
Immersive experience.
Yeah, it's called 4DX. And you can find it in a lot of the big cinema films that are out now. Like I think the last one I just saw
question.
With that was, was it Dune 2 or
this
what was
so
another big one?
This is so funny to me that this is what their podcast is. But it's not all. And to be fair, it's not all Corey's fault. It's partially their fault.
It just came out. Oh, maybe no, it wasn't Ghostbusters. But anyway, you know, yes, they do it with a lot of the recent films, and it's a lot of fun, actually.
Dude, I would be remiss for our listeners, at least, to talk about the way you started your career. I mean, Rob Reiner is Stand By Me, Steven Spielberg, Goonies and Gremlins, Joel Schumacher and Lost Boys. I mean, do you look back and go, like, do you realize how insane that is?
Now, I'm going to stop that question real quick. Can you guess what Corey's annoyed about that question? Can you guess how that particular question is going to ignore
okay,
Corey?
So legendary directors.
Yeah, he forgot a movie, right?
Well,
is that what Corey's going to be mad about?
Let me take it back for a second. So just like re-listen to, okay. I'm not taking it back too far, but hold on.
I would be remiss.
Re-listen to the question and think of it as Corey and think of what would annoy him.
For our listeners, at least, to talk about the way you started your career. I mean, Rob Reiner is Stand By Me, Steven Spielberg, Goonies and Gremlins, Joel Schumacher and Lost Boys. I mean,
is it that Spielberg only produced Gremlins?
It's a little. I know it's kind of tough, but it's there. It's in the question.
How you started your career? There must be like something he's leaving out, or like
you're on the right track, Jeff.
Okay, how did he start his career? He must have started his career.
Well, he started.
I don't know, getting
three.
Raped by old guys.
Mike, you're getting warmer. Yeah. You're both getting very warm.
He started his career at three, so it's got to be like. Well, it's what I said first that he left something out, right?
Let me let it play. Yeah.
You look back and go like, do you realize how insane that is? The quality of the people that you worked with to start your career.
But that wasn't the start of my career. That was about, that was
you were
like,
doing sitcoms in this in the late 70s, right?
Wait, hold on. You were, how old were you in Stand By Me? How was that not the beginning of your career?
That was 10, that was literally 10 years into my career, man.
He's shaking.
Yeah, see, he does. See, he doesn't like that because, yeah, he was what, 12 or 13 or something in Stand By Me? He's started at 3 in commercials or whatever the fuck it was.
I was in a Burger King commercial, fucking it up.
It's a McDonald's commercial, actually. He does get into it.
Oh, God. Okay, hell yeah.
In the late 70s, right?
Wait, hold on. You were, how old were you in Stand By Me? How was that not the beginning of your career?
That was 10. That was.
What's hilarious, too, as this interview goes on, is to watch Christine Taylor and how she nervously laughs and keeps trying to hold things together best as she can.
That was
you
like,
were doing sitcoms in this in the late 70s, right?
Wait, hold on. You were, how old were you in Stand By Me? How was that not the beginning of your career?
That was 10. That was literally 10 years into my career, man.
Yeah. By the way, you're still as youthful as ever, too. That's the
thank
thing.
You. We, I appreciate that. Thank
we
you.
Really
God bless
are
you.
All the same age, but you have had such longevity. Yeah.
Well, it's, I think it's all right here, and it's all
it
right
is.
Here.
It's so,
and it's also in how we treat ourselves. He still can't get over the fact that it was 10 years into my career that I did Stand I By
Look,
Me.
He doesn't want to let it go.
Yeah. She tried to move on, and he's like, nope.
She tried to move on with a compliment.
Nope.
Like, kind of like the like a compliment sandwich where the shit's in the middle, but like, all right, well, hey, you look amazing. I mean, we're the same age. You look younger than us. He's like, haha, I do look young. What about that fucking guy that said my career started with Stand By Me? Are you serious?
Yeah, really. You don't know every single thing about me.
You can see him.
He's still got that look on his face. Right. He doesn't know where to go with that.
I don't want to hear about your commercial work and, you know, when you were a baby, but like,
let's go. Mike rules. Yeah, I don't want to hear about that bullshit. I'm going to talk about the four good.
Are you calling him Mike or are you saying Mike?
Isn't that his name?
No. No, it's David.
Oh, David. Whatever. David rules.
Mike does rule.
Mike rules
Mike
too.
Rules.
David, I don't want to hear about when you were a baby, retard.
Stand By Me. We had Jerry O'Connell's a good friend of mine. We've had him on here. And just
are you trying to say that the work that I did before Stand By Me was meaningless or insignificant?
Isn't it great the tension that. How does he show up to every podcast interview and it's immediate tension with someone?
Well, he instantly finds something to be like, well, guess what I'm holding against you for the rest of the next 25 minutes.
I like it. Are you trying to say the meaningless corporate slop I did as a baby isn't as good as a timeless work of art?
So I shouldn't resent you for the fact that you forgot about my McDonald's commercial.
Had him on here and just...
are you trying to say that the work that I did before Stand By Me was meaningless or insignificant?
No, builds.
We have 25 minutes with you.
Oh man, she tries to save it so bad, and like she just gets ignored.
Well, and nothing's worse than a pseudo argument on Zoom with a delay.
I had to take it back for a second because I want to see her reaction again real quick as she gets nothing as she tries to go to something else.
That I did before Stand By Me was meaningless or insignificant?
No. Builds. It
Dude,
all
we have,
builds.
We have 5 minutes with you.
I know you do, but I don't care about Stand By Me. I talked about it a million years ago, for God's sakes.
I know.
Ooh, that's classic. Ooh. I'm trying to put a happy tone in what I'm saying, but I'm clearly angry.
My face is saying something different than my mouth.
Why would I care about Stand By Me? I'm focused on the McDonald's commercials.
And 4DX.
I started by saying I didn't want to talk about fucking Stand By Me. I want to talk about McDonald's.
I want to talk about the technology of 3D glasses.
And then there's even some there's some grit in David's voice when he's like, Corey, we have 25 minutes with you. Yeah. Like, we're not going to talk about 4DX and fucking whatever bullshit. Yeah. We're going to talk about motherfucking Stand By Me. Corey, yeah, I already talked about it for a million years.
Corey, we only have twice as long as your set.
You're talking about these movies that I've talked about 3 million times. So the point I'm trying to make is I started my career with a McDonald's commercial. Okay, so that was actually the very first thing that I did. That was, yes, it was just a commercial, but that commercial happened to win a Clio Award for best commercial.
Dude, when I was watching this, I was doing
Clio Award.
Dude, I was doing the same thing you were just doing, Mike. When I was watching this, I had like my head in my hands, and how is this happening?
Can we see this commercial?
I'm sure. Yeah, we'll see if we can find it.
I fucking love how this is going. How badly this is going.
McDonald's commercial. Okay, so that was actually the very first thing that I did. That was, yes, it was just a commercial, but that commercial happened to win a Clio Award for best commercial, and it also happened to play for 10 years as one of the most classic, beloved commercials McDonald's ever made.
That
sounds like how Trump would describe
yes.
it.
Yeah. It actually is one of the best commercials
one
ever.
One of the most classic commercials ever made.
It won a Clio. You ever won a Clio?
Played for 10 years. Help himself. He doesn't know how to not be that, like this.
Unless he's in like the M&M Santa commercial, he's not on air for 10 years.
They do exist, Corey's behind the tree.
I do exist.
All right, hold on. Actually, I think I found it on, someone posted it on Facebook.
Okay. Clio award-winning commercial.
Clio award-winning McDonald's commercial.
Just search up past Clio winners. From,
hold on, let me pull this up. From 1976.
God damn, this better be one hell. I mean, maybe it'll prove us wrong. This might be one hell of a commercial.
It could be. It could be like one of those ones that makes you all teary-eyed and shit.
Yeah.
Hey, McDonald's.
Oh, wait, hold on. Who would have thought that this cute little baby would grow up to be a darkened souled piece of garbage?
Yeah. I mean, that's commercial shit already. It's boring.
What he pulled out, what, a fucking...
gift certificate.
Okay.
Is worth 50 cents at McDonald's, and a book of 10 costs only $5. Something special.
50 cents.
Special. Oh, he left it for Santa. I mean, you got to admit, though, Christmas commercials always be hitting different, whether it be fast food or candy or cereal.
This is tripe.
This is a nothing commercial.
I've never seen anyone ever brag about a commercial award from when they were 5 years old. Only Corey.
Well, and it's just,
thank you, Eric.
Thank you for the super chat. And yeah, you're right. Who is out there bragging about a commercial they did, what, 40 years ago at this point?
He woke up. Put a gift certificate on a plate, a voiceover explained what gift certificates were and how much they cost, and now it's over.
And it was the answer to what was it like to work with legendary directors and producers some of the best movies of all time. You're like,
well, you forgot my Clio Award.
Wait, is Santa gonna?
You should be asleep. No presents for you.
Don't grow up to become a husk of a man.
50 cents. What the fuck do I get with this?
Take guitar lessons.
You just gave me a chore.
Guitar lessons? More like acting lessons. Our Santa just turns
Corey
enough.
Feldman. I'm looking at a Corey Feld boy.
I was like, you know what? What is our Santa impression? Yeah. Sounds like Muppets
we're
to me.
We're Statler and Waldorf, by the way. In case you Corey heads don't realize, we're being Statler and Waldorf Muppet. The Muppet guys that are up on the balcony that make fun of everything.
We're being Santa, Statler, and Waldorf. all right, back to Hey Dude.
What was so great about that commercial?
Nothing.
Great question. It's like he just watched it with us.
I like that you morons didn't like this guy. And now
we love him.
And now he's fucking cooking and you're all on board. Welcome home.
Well, he was fucking up the podcast for a while.
He was. He was bringing it down a little bit.
To be honest, it was a piece of crap. No,
your adorable face.
It was some little kid coming down the stairs, you know, looking for a gift certificate or something.
I can talk about this
commercial
all day.
But anyway, the point of it is...
I like how he's doing the thing where you pretend you don't know exactly what... when you don't want people to know how much you know something, you're like, I don't know.
Anyway, back to my original fucking point. I'm trying to say.
Anyway, back to my point. Steven Spielberg sucks.
There was a lot of what I would call huge achievements before Stand By Me, such as getting to work with the great Dick Van Dyke. Now, that's something that was an amazing accomplishment at only 5 years old. OK,
yep.
So let's start there.
Yes.
I got to do a musical number with Dick Van Dyke at 5 years old.
It's so funny that this argument is still going. But now he's at the point where he's making the list of like, OK, yeah. and this. These are things you think suck.
Yeah. Remember when you said that thing offhand and then I launched at you with a point by point argument to prove you wrong on your podcast? Yeah,
I did timeless stuff. Dick Van Dyke musical number, hamburger commercial.
Remember when I destroyed you with facts and logic?
Oh, I'm sorry. The woke mind virus get you too?
Mic drop right there.
I got to do my first real acting scene with Cloris Leachman, the Academy Award winner, when I was like 6 years old. I got to work with Malcolm McDowell of A Clockwork Orange and Mary Steenburgen, two of the most esteemed actors in the history of cinema, when I was 7 years old.
Yep.
I starred in a Disney film when I was 8 years old. So, yes, there was a lot of career.
Yeah, look at her just trying to react. Like, how are we going to get through this? How do we get to the next thing?
When you were eight, did you fantasize that your career would be over in 5 years?
did you realize you were peaking at the moment?
Yeah. Did you know you were going to meet someone with your own name who was better than you?
Cover, if you want to be nostalgic, is my point.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Let's get to your 90s.
And you obviously were a natural. Like, you just worked nonstop from that age till now.
Yeah. How'd you get into it, man, at such a young age?
I did two TV series before I was 12 years old. I'd already done two TV series.
Yeah, he's still listing out things.
Yeah. And the question was just, what was it like to work with legendary actors? It's like, I've worked forever.
Yeah, he doesn't understand what the start of a career is. Like, yeah, technically, like, you know what that means, dude. You yourself said you've done this interview a million times, so you know what they mean.
Yeah.
National shows. I'd already had, I don't know, 3 or 4 number one hits by the time I got to Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Had he?
You were a seasoned veteran by that
right,
point.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. You know how I met Jerry O'Connell?
Okay.
We did a Burger King commercial together.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
My first job ever was a Burger King commercial. So we all have fast food.
How many Clio awards?
Yeah. All of our first jobs were some bullshit commercial, but we don't talk about that.
Are your Clio awards on the shelf behind you right now?
Are you wearing the Clio award around your neck?
Can you pull up your commercial on your phone like I am? Look.
What commercials deserve a Clio award? Obviously, the Santa and the M&Ms.
Well, I brought this up. There was an old Nissan commercial about the guy like going. You think he's late to his wedding, but you realize he's going to like be the guy that objects. Like speak up now or forever hold your peace. And it's such. Mm. It's like it's a really good commercial.
I mean, the Disneyland Paris commercial with the little duck that sees Donald Duck. Give that all the awards.
Oh shit! The one where the ladies calling a pizza place are pretending to call a pizza place, but it's because her husband's beating her.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that one's funny.
The one with the 1-800-COLLECT had a baby, it's a boy. That's a fucking all-timer.
That changed the game.
That's an all-timer.
Or Orlando Jones with Make 7 Up Yours.
Classic. All Clio.
Make 7 Up Yours.
Yeah. Or Eddie the Echo when the McDouble came out.
Holy fuck!
Justin Long as a Mac.
Yes!
Corey Feldman as the Taco Bell dog.
Oh, wow. That is funny. That is funny. Small, crappy world we live in of fast food.
Look how unimpressed he is with their commercials.
Yeah. He's like, I started my career with fast food. Oh, you guys did too? Well, then never mind. It sucks.
Sorry. It's so hard to hear you through my Clio.
Sorry. This damn Clio is always causing interference.
Yes. Well, I stay very far away from those places now, and it is ironic that my first job was I don't know, I guess as a puppeteer for the meat and dairy industry, considering my whole life's mission is to be vegetarian and help people
never
not
once mentioned
kill animals
ever.
For food. So
we've covered him for like 9 years. Has he ever mentioned being vegan ever?
Hashtag vegan chicken or whatever. Vegan wings.
Yeah, when he's dressing down a fan.
Yeah. Hashtag vegan wings, Jeff. Maybe check Twitter, Jeff.
I always forget when he's dressing down people. Well, that's when the vegan comes out. Also notice the girl has a pink square, the guy has a blue square, and Corey's got a pink square.
Yeah,
he's mad about that. He hates that.
Gender norms mean nothing to Corey Feldman.
They burned him.
Yeah.
Kind of ironic that I would have started off in that regard.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
Well, I guess we all find ourselves.
Yeah, we just see his guitar player walk by in the background in his underwear.
Yeah, with shirt, no pants.
Hey, Corey, you want anything at McDonald's?
Corey starts screaming at him, but he doesn't know how to mute his mic.
Corey, you're going to eat all these chicken wings you made?
He
Budweiser's himself real quick.
Stop. Step back. Step back.
It's a podcast, Corey. We're not near you.
Somewhere along the way.
Yeah, and I hope that as we, you know, go on these journeys, that we learn new things about ourselves and we make changes. And it just feels like you have constantly reinvented yourself.
If you stay stagnant nobody's gonna care, right? That's the bottom line.
Anyway, there's next a lot question. Of you got
exciting
fuck,
things
right?
I'm talking about that are coming up. So as much as I do love looking back, I also love looking forward.
Yes.
Because I'm somebody who you know thrives on moving forward, as you said, reinventing, you know, because we all, you know, And trust me, there's a lot of artists out there who get stuck in the pigeonhole of never progressing, never looking past whatever their biggest accomplishment was. And
it's so wild that he talks like this, because it's like I know I'm stating the obvious. It's fake. It's not real. like I know that, yeah, he's got stuff going on now. Kind of, because he's on the Low Serville tour, and
Jim and them's always talking about
him.
So, but, Corey, you're a lol cow now. More of a joy cow.
But those things are only happening because of the faint shadow of his glory.
But he
from
would tell
those
you
projects.
He'd tell you. In fact, I'm surprised he didn't correct her when she said reinvent yourself, because I feel like classic Corey would be to say, oh, well, I've always been a musician in my heart.
Yeah, you're
right. I just happened to be in movies for a while, and they allowed me to kind of like continue doing the thing I really love. And that he didn't reinvent himself.
But it's so selective on when he does that, because that's why, like, when the Lost Boys have a 35th anniversary, he's like, come to my show. I'm going to perform Cry Little Sister.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then when it's nice and relevant, like there's an opportunity there, all of a sudden it's like, hey, it's me. I'm in Lost Boys, remember? Hey, me and Jason Newlander are going ghost hunting.
We're the Frog Brothers. Remember the Frog Brothers?
Buy the cameo. I'm the Frog. Remember the guy that does not want to look backwards, dressing up as his old character. Yeah. 30 years later.
Buy my rubber ear. It's $7.
And he sells the fake ear from Stand By Me.
Yeah, we're celebrating Stand By Me. I'm going to get hit by a train.
Always move forward. Buy my rubber ear.
Mike always gets mad about this, but we need to buy that
ear. We can't give him money. No.
We all need box
sets. We need someone to buy us.
Can we cancel the Japan trip?
We don't
Wherever
need the
fuck we were going?
We don't need the box set, but we need someone to buy us that fake ear.
Well,
that,
buy the box set. He might have an ear inside. He runs out of Hershey Kisses.
This is pure entitlement. We need someone to buy us the fake ear. We'll use the money they give us to all buy fake ears.
No.
Yeah.
But then you're giving Corey money.
Then we can wear the ears to the gathering.
No. Yes.
Irony is fine if we don't give him money.
What if we ate the ears?
We can give him $10. For the ear.
We could get them signed, too. We could give them $50. Yeah.
And we could pay $80 in shipping.
No. Yeah.
And priding themselves on that and kind of resting on that laurel. I am the opposite of that. as I'm sure you've seen in the few minutes you've had with me. But, you know, I really like to move things forward, and I like to
Look at David. He's just, like, staring off into space at this point.
He's on Discord. Yeah.
He's on the Jim and Them Discord.
Yeah.
This guy sucks.
He's throwing darts at a Corey face.
On what's next and what's coming. And there's so much great stuff coming, and I'm so excited that, you know, it's not just about The Masked Singer, but I am doing the biggest tour of my life.
Oh, here we go.
This summer.
Like I'm going to be Biscuit. Doing yes.
That's right. Speaking of 90s, I mean, you don't get a bigger 90s, right. A 90s band than
right
that.
Right on brand for mm-hmm. us. Yeah.
Limp Bizkit's 90s. I think that tracks.
If Nookie came out, it was like 1999.
It was like 98, 99, but it was 90s.
But would you say you don't get more 90s?
Version of 1992 Michael Jackson.
Corey is always evolving into a different version of 1992 Michael Jackson.
Thank you, Eric,
with the $9. Let's go, baby.
Thank you for the super chat. And
that's
you are correct.
That's an ear right there. Every
that's
super
an
chat's
ear.
An ear.
No, you know what? That's
no,
an ear.
Every no, super no, chat yeah. we get, we're going to buy one ear.
My point was, though, you can't say you don't get much more 90s than a song that got popular in 1999.
Well, kind of. I mean, boy bands, even though, yeah, they were in the 2000s, it's the similar thing of how the 80s bled into the early 90s. The 90s bled into the early 2000s.
But you don't think of... But Limp Bizkit is not a 90s thing.
Yeah. I think of them as kind of a 90s thing.
I think like Nirvana, Limp Bizkit.
You guys are real Feldmans right now.
I do kind of think of the Bizkit as a late 90s thing. Yeah. But I mean, I would never say you can't get more 90s than that.
You can't get more 90s than Limp Bizkit and Riff Raff.
Right, exactly.
Tell us how this came to be, and are you friendly with the band, or did this just all...
I hate those guys. They are the worst. Are you kidding me? I'll probably be throwing darts at them every time they're not looking.
Come on. You and Fred Durst are hanging out every night, dude.
Yeah, no. Fred and I, you know, we're intimate. Let's just say that.
Do you see how he's going to that well again? He's doing the same. Remember? Do you remember his thing on the X5 podcast?
I can't forget it.
I feel like that must be the thing. Anytime it comes up, he does the joke of how he's fucking Fred Durst. Mm-hmm. Or Durst is fucking him.
Yes. Yeah. Come on, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Woodstock 99, people coming up in the chat. That's true. Woodstock 99 is iconic Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But 1999 is not so 90s. I looked it up. Nookie came out June of 1999.
Yeah, when did $3 Bill drop?
But when did, when did Roland come out? Probably 2001.
Yeah, Jim,
it's still 90s though.
No,
that's so 90s.
No, that's not.
No, I'm joking.
You heard it here first.
I love it. It's something about that big white beard. It just gets me in all the right places, if you know what I mean. But
the warm fuzzy.
Exactly. Seriously though. Yeah. No, but
seriously, I want to fuck him so bad, or I want to get fucked by him.
I'm gay. No, I'm not. No, I'm not gay.
No, homo. Pause.
After this tour, Corey starts dressing like Fred Durst all the time. And then they're like, did something happen? He's like, no.
Fred Durst becomes his new Michael Jackson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes. It comes out, starts rapping.
The truth of the matter is, Fred and I actually met at the infamous Playboy Mansion all the way back in the 90s when Limp Bizkit was at the king of their...
The Midsummer Night's Dream.
Hold on. But so, Mike, if you're getting annoyed, don't worry. Corey's about to get annoyed that she said that too.
Okay.
Party. I don't know if I'd say the peak because I feel like they're pretty much peaking right now. I mean, they just played.
Wow. Although, would you go as far to say that Limp Bizkit's now reaching their peak? No.
Corey was right to correct her, but then wrong about everything he said afterwards.
Athens, and they had like 200,000 people singing every single word to Break Stuff with only a drum beat being played.
Wow.
They weren't playing the song. Wow. They were just playing a drum beat, and the entire 200,000 in synchronicity sang word for word every song of Break Stuff. So you don't get a bigger callback to the future than that, but I would say they are definitely on
the top. We're calling back to the future.
Money. We need to sing Break Stuff.
Back to the 90s with Limp Bizkit.
Imagine being a writer and writing that sentence and your editor reading it and being like, I don't even know what to say.
I don't know if I call Limp Bizkit a 90s band.
There's no better look back than the forward of the future in the back time.
Tactically,
their game right about now. That's number one. even if it was an old song rehash, but I know they have some new stuff out as well. And Fred is a genius, so everything they do is great. But here's the other side of it. So Fred and I met at the Playboy Mansion back in the 90s.
We were fucking a kid.
You know, at the time, he mentioned to me that he was a fan of my music. He's like, we got to work together. Let's do something together. I don't care if it's a song, an album, a movie. We got to do something. And I was like, sure. So we traded numbers.
Jim.
Oh, we're about to have a necklace full of ears.
None of that. Shut up.
Here it comes.
2001 is peak 90s. Give this $10 to Corey for me.
Thank you, Colin. Thank you for the super chat. That $10 is going right in Corey's pocket.
Who are these sickos? Get out of here, you sickos.
Consider us the middlemen. We're going to hand that. You hand it to us, we hand it right to Corey.
This show, we're dedicating every super chat to Corey.
But I'm sorry, what were you going
to
say,
No,
Mike?
Just that he's claiming that Fred Durst claimed he was a fan of his music and that they had to do something together.
Oh, that's why I left it in, yeah. Because I love
that. That Fred and him didn't meet at that mansion, and Fred probably said something, but 0%.
There's no way he said I'm a... But that's the same thing, although I guess that airport story when he talks about the young kid, anytime he brings up a story about running into someone, it's always like, yeah, they really love the music, man. They're big fans of my music.
No.
And... You know, we kind of kept in touch through the years, and it took about a decade before we were both able to kind of lock our schedules into place and find.
Listen to that detail, by the way, too. It took decades to finally sync up. You know, that's just Durst like, oh man, Corey's messaging me again.
It took decades of texting him every day, and he finally responded.
Limbisk is like, well, we're kind of having like a bit of a revival. I guess we'll finally let Corey, we'll take him along.
I mean, it was clearly a great decision because that stupid tour is getting so much press because of us and Corey.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to Corey's head, but I've seen so many more clips of Corey than I've seen of Limp Bizkit performing on the tour.
I haven't seen Nate No Face at all.
And each other. Shit. We literally like, you know, kind of on and off, on and off, on and off to the point where he'd be like, yo, man, let's get together. And I kind of got pissed. I was like, yo, dude. If you're going to just flake on me every time we talk about getting together, he's like, you want to fight about it? I was like, yeah, let's go, dude. And that kind of like broke the ice. And ever since we've been friends.
That's how their friendship.
Wait, what
their
was it
budding,
that he said?
It doesn't matter
because it's made up.
No, he said that. Well, I'll play.
Were they butting heads about? I zoned out.
About how they couldn't sync up.
Fred Durst apparently kept flaking on him.
Our schedules into place and find each other. We literally like, you know, kind of on and off, on and off, on and off to the point where he'd be like, yo, man, let's get together. And I kind of got pissed. I was like, yo, dude. If you're going to just flake on me every time we talk about getting together, he's like, you want to fight about it? I was like, yeah, let's go, dude. And that kind of like broke the ice. And ever since we've been friends.
He just came over and beat Corey's ass.
Kicked the shit out of him while Wes Borland's standing there in like weird makeup.
He's like in the closet going, ooh,
I'm a ghoul.
Hey, man, we keep making plans and you keep not showing up, dude. What's going on? we got another one coming.
Another year.
Yeah. It's funny. Sometimes.
Obama.
Fred listening to Corey is like ICP listening to Vanilla Ice. Not totally impossible, but it's very strange all the same. $10 more for Corey.
Yeah!
No. Thank you, Jukane, for the $10 for Corey.
Stop giving us ear money.
Yeah.
Again, I gotta get an ear.
No.
We're using none of this money for anything but ears.
No ear money.
We're going to each be able to wear an ear on the show.
No.
We'll have our fake Stand By Me ears.
I demand that people stop giving us ear money.
Yeah, tell it to my third ear. It's on my forehead.
So what happened was, you know, at some point I think it was like, okay, screw it. We just got to do this. We just got to, you know, write a song together. And we did for my Angelic to the Core album. So the album that I produced, which was actually my most successful album to date, which happens to be offline right now.
Oh, this is great. Oh. This is so great. Listen to his fucking reasoning on why the Angelic to the Core album is not available.
It's too hot.
Good timing on that one. But because of the fact that there were some copyright issues, apparently, with a couple of the sketches, we did these like comedy sketches in between the songs to help it tell a story and give a narrative. And so some of the sketches that we did back when we made them, these laws didn't exist. But now all of a sudden there's new laws that have come into
play. Here's for an ear.
Thank you, Eric. Another, you put another ear on the Barbie.
No, I'm another ear on the tree.
I'm drowning in. I want no ears, and oh, I'm
we should have an ear tree this year for Christmas. I mean,
at this point, we already got four ears.
No, we'll have a little mini. We'll have one of those little mini Christmas trees with just the ears hanging.
Eric alone has given us 3 years of time.
Eric. Eric, I've got my guy. I was going to say I have my eye on you, but I've got my ear on you.
We can give a narrative. And so some of the sketches that we did back when we made them, these laws didn't exist. But now all of a sudden there's new laws that have come into play that if you use background music from another sample and that sample was, you know, actually made by humans and not AI... Hold on. They can find you and they can make a copyright strike and shut down your entire album.
All right, go, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, well, you know, you can't just cut the sketches out.
No, but also, there's no way that those laws just happened. Yeah, it's always been laws for copyright. If you can't just use a little. I mean, unless you're Jim and them and you're talking about Corey's movie.
Well, I was going to say, someone else's Heather Don May.
Yes.
Is going after his album. Because there's Heather Don Mays all over the place. Everybody's got their
multiverse.
own. Everyone has a Heather Don May. And whoever these guys is Heather Don May was noticed these sketches apparently and came for him.
Well, what their Heather Don May is just their actual lawyers and managers.
Yes.
And also it's not like he literally was just using them as like sketch, like he even says himself, a sketch. It wasn't like a commentary or a critique or anything. It was just something playing in the background. And he's like, apparently, all of a sudden, you can't just use samples. You have to pay for them? What's going on?
Time for a new sketch. It's just Yesterday by the Beatles.
It does make sense, though, to a man who can't play a song because a video's not playing, to take down an entire album because some tracks aren't allowed to be on it, even though none of them are music.
You're not going to understand the story, the Corey story.
That's true. Yeah.
But also, even this is probably a lie, because remember, because this is only a couple months ago. This is like before.
Sorry. Yeah. I was so aghast by the concept of a lie that it hit me in waves.
This is before the summer, before the tour. But remember, we did look at something, and his on his website, it mentioned that his albums were taken down. But it's clearly more so like he didn't pay his like CD baby bill or whatever it is to have it on streaming.
Well, because he refuses to put it places that people put their music.
Yeah, because he thinks it's eating into the box set sales.
Yes.
Or just people buying the CD on Amazon or something.
Well, and the Wolfpack is allowed to go on Spotify. And so if he can't stop them from listening, he's just not going to put it there.
Obama!
The irony of Corey talking about copyright.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Eric. Yeah, him being like, these new laws all of a sudden, I don't know.
The irony of Corey talking about copyright. Here's for another ear.
An ear for an ear.
Ears to you.
Because of the fact that ASCAP is like a mafia. Yeah, it's insane. So this much of it, there's like 2 seconds of this much material in like 3 or 4 different songs throughout the album that are, you know, sketches between the songs, and we had our entire album removed because of it. So, but that said, on that album, Angelic to the Core, which you can buy, by the way, the physical copy on CD at Amazon.
What's the name of your band?
It's just me.
But the tour.
Oh, he gets mad about that. What's the name of the band?
Corey Feldman.
The name of the band is Corey Feldman.
Well, I think on his shirt it says the Corey Feldman band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and it used to be, wasn't it something? Angelic to the Core was the album, but he had some weird band name around then,
too. Yeah, because that's something to do with angels, too.
Well,
yeah.
And he also brings up a great point. Copyright doesn't apply to physical media on there. We really need our Heather Don May to get on that, get that removed from Amazon real quick, too, since we're the only three people that listen to this.
Or it's called Loserville? Yeah. But it's Corey Feldman. That's it. It's just me.
Okay.
But anyway, got it.
Listen how annoyed he is. And I know you guys know the answer to this. Okay. You know he's probably going to bring up soon when he's talking about the tour, right?
What?
I mean that, you know, we'll
how
see.
Successful it is and how everything's going smoothly.
Well, I mean, you heard David mention it's Loserville, right?
Yep.
Oh.
Anyway, so my first top 40 Billboard hit was on that album. It was called Go For It. It's a song I did with Snoop Dogg. Okay.
We would definitely have to check that, by the way, because that's probably not true.
But again, he didn't do it with Snoop Dogg because no version of it ever again has ever had Snoop Dogg on
it. And remember when he was posting his Billboard hits and it was some weird, obscure, like fake category?
It was the, I forget what the charts actually called, but it's not an actual a hit list. It's basically plays that it got in local radio.
Yeah.
And Go For It did not chart. Or maybe it did, but not top 40.
Well, again, I think I even bring this up in the video. It's one of those things where whatever chart it was on, like Adult Contemporary has its own chart.
Bullshit,
and you can be number 40 on Adult Contemporary.
It was in like the stand-up comedy charts or some shit.
But number 40 on that list is probably number 500 on the actual like top whatever list.
So on that same album was also a song with Fred. And that song is called Seamless. And it's a great song. It's Fred and I. We wrote it together. We produced it together. It's kind of like a perfect blend. If you took Limp Bizkit and Corey Feldman and matched them together, that's exactly what the sound is. And then also go to my YouTube page if you want to see an early performance of me with Limp Bizkit, because through the years, since Fred and I have been friends, we've done all sorts of things together, from telethons for autism to live performances.
We watched his telethon. It's terrible.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It's all over, like, coming back to me.
What's funny, I'll have to dig those emails up. Maybe that was actually Heather Don May as well, because I used to get emails that were like, take down your commentary of our autism awareness video. And I would just ignore them. I'm like, no, I'm not going to take them down. But years ago, I get emails from some random about that. But listen to his setup here about this cover song he does with Fred Durst on his YouTube.
And there is a great performance from Fred and I on stage at the House of Blues, where we cover Michael Jackson. And that's a lot of fun. So you got to check it out.
Wait,
do you like
on.
Michael Jackson?
Okay, cover Michael Jackson songs?
Now look, David is completely clueless about Corey. Because unless he's trolling him, which he might be.
Because if this was like you replace that box with one of us three, you know exactly what's going on right now. But with this guy, it's hard to say.
And Jack Johnson, thank you.
I love mashups. Limp Feldman, baby.
Let's go.
Thank you, Boat Knight.
Limp Feldman.
Jack Johnson, indicator chart. Thank you. But we can't tell if David is trolling here or if he really just has no clue about Feldman outside of Stand By Me.
Yes. Well, a song.
One song.
Which song?
I don't want to give it away, but YouTube channel. channel right now. It's under Corey Feldman. Just look it up on YouTube, Corey Feldman channel.
Do it now.
Then look up the Limp Bizkit House of Blues video that I put up.
There's nothing more off-putting than someone that just can't tell you what song, like, what kind of mystery are you trying to play here?
Jim, this is a 90s podcast, so it's like back when they'd say, search AOL keyword, blah, blah, blah.
and you
couldn't just type in a website's name back then. So he's just trying to like harken back to those days.
You'll love it. So anyway, we'll use that as a teaser to get us to the tour. But anyway, so the tour is the first time that we've ever toured together. So he called me up with this idea, and it turned out, this was it. It was Low Serve Ill, and that's what we call, by the way, Low Serve
Ill. Oh, I love
Ill.
That.
Stupid cunt.
That's what we call it. There's no way. No one else calls it that.
I love that. David's like, I hate it.
David's like, I'm confused. What does that mean?
Her and Ben Stiller must have kids, right?
Oh, I don't know.
She's got like, I'm used to being a mom.
I'm a mom. Mom energy.
She's got I can play along with this stuff. Mom energy for sure, because you don't respond.
She does talk to him like he's a little kid too.
The low serve ill joke doesn't deserve that response unless you're a mom.
Well, Ben Stiller can't have kids. He zipped his dick up in
Didn't you see that documentary? They have two kids.
Okay. Yeah. She's a mom.
But he even puts a little like stank on at the end, like low serve ill. Like that's supposed to explain what he means by what low serve ill is.
Sick dog.
Yeah.
put together. So he called me up with this idea, and it turned out, yes, this was it. It was Low Serve Ill, and that's what we call, by the way, Low Serve
Ill. Oh, I love
ill,
that.
Right,
I
right?
love that.
Low
yes.
Serve Ill.
So good.
And you can, by the way, you can come and get tickets to not only see the show, but you can come and see me backstage after the show.
Not backstage.
At Low Serve Ill.
If not you, at a different venue down
different
the street.
It
only cost 300 ears.
At a different location, but don't mention it to the bartender or anything that we're doing an event there.
Website, CoreyFeldman.net, where we are selling VIP tickets and passes.
He's like, it feels like we have four more people in here.
Yeah, why is there...
I'm really slammed. I got four weirdos in here.
Wait a second. Is that Corey Feldman? Damn it, Corey, get out of here. What did I tell you about having your fake VIP events here? Get out. Come on. He's
We're
going to
need a cut.
He's chasing with a broom.
Yeah, close the door on him. Now you just can't leave.
Three or Low Serve Ill. So it's going to be a lot
low
of fun. I mean, here's
Ill.
One for you that everybody told me my whole life. You'll never have a successful music career.
Never- The first time he told the truth. Everyone said, you're a mockery. You'll never sell plastic ears for $50.
Make that a sounder, Jim.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Cut that.
Specifically for Low Serve Ill. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, here's one for you that everybody told me my whole life. You'll never have a successful music career. It'll never happen. Nobody's ever going to take you seriously because you're an actor first, and that's the way people know you.
I mean, that's not why we're not going to take you
well,
seriously.
I just can't. I always just envision the actor. I can't, you know, I can't lose myself to the music.
Yeah, no, of course. There's a barrier.
I can't low serve ill myself to the music.
Happy days in the chat. What do VIPs get? I mean, you get a picture with Corey. You get a meet and greet. One personal item signed or unlimited stuff if you buy from his merch table.
He's also kind of implied that, like, you don't get to sit and talk to him. It really is like a walk up to a table,
say hi,
get something, and then fucking hit the bricks.
Yeah, maybe a picture, one thing signed, and then, get the fuck out of my face. Thanks for the $220.
And with that, I said, screw you. I'll keep going no matter what. I'll never give up.
Yeah.
And you know what? It took me until age 40 to get my first top 40 Billboard hit. And everybody thought at that time, you can't get a top 40 Billboard hit at age 40. So who would have ever thunk that at this point I would have three top 40 Billboard hits under my, you know, whatever you want to call it, backpack or...
No, he doesn't.
Well, what about how...
Obama?
I've had a crush on Christine Taylor since Hey Dude days. She looks great.
Oh, yeah. No.
She's a
and
super
yes,
babe.
She has two kids.
Yeah, thank you, Eric.
Melody
yes.
Melody was a babe. By the way, I looked up Larissa Olenek. Larissa Olenek's only 43.
Is that
Alex Mack.
Okay, yes.
Or
I was like,
10 Things
I
Hate About You would be another touch. She's only 43, Jim. I feel like I could get with Larissa Olenek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm telling you, cowards. I think if I saw Larissa Olenek at like a restaurant and she was eating alone and like we struck up a conversation, I think I could like start to dating Larissa Olenek.
Okay. A few things too, when he's talking
Stiller about, beat me here, but Jim, I still got Larissa.
There's a chance, although she might be married, you got to look it up.
I'll kill him.
There's a few things here because, number one, he's setting it up as this idea that, you know, no one at 40 or over 40 has had like top hits. Mm-hmm. And I do love that he forgets like under, you know, what's the phrase under your belt?
Yes.
But he's like under your hat or whatever.
Under your backpack.
Under your backpack or a rock.
Yeah.
40. So who would have ever thunk that at this point I would have three top 40 Billboard hits under my, you know, whatever you want to call it, backpack or shoulder strap or whatever. But they're in there.
Yeah, Kristen in Twitch chat. Yeah, everyone says that. Not Madonna, not Mariah Carey, Kylie Minogue.
Cher.
Not possible after 40.
Yeah.
I looked it up. Larissa Olenek, according to Wikipedia,
divorced.
Not in a relationship. But in January of 2013, she was granted a restraining order against a stalker who was so obsessed with her.
That was you?
That he changed his last name to Olenek.
He had your idea, like, I could get her.
Yeah.
But
if I saw her in a bar, she would be mine.
I can use his failure as my success by, like, just not following the same path he did.
God, could you stop thinking about pussy for 2 seconds? We're trying to talk about Corey Feldman.
Dude, Mike's
Jesus
caught
Christ.
up. Mike's acting like he's on the Hey Dude, It's the 90s podcast. Like, and Mike's like, Alex Mack, that's 90s. I could pull her right now.
You would do way better on this 90s show. You would be a better host than both of them.
Invite me.
Goofs.
Dude, you should, anyway, your next song should be called Top 40 at 40.
There you go. There good you one. Go. Exactly. No, I mean, I think I did what I thought at least was in.
There you go.
There you go.
The way she reacted was worse than how she reacted to Corey. Hey,
you're doing a great job, buddy.
You nailed it when you talked about her mom energy, because that's all I can see now to both of these morons.
Yes.
Your next song should be called Top 40 at 40.
There you go. There you go. Exactly. No, I mean, I mean, I think I did what I thought at least was inconceivable and undoable as a child or as a young man. I thought, once you hit 35, you're done. You know, you're done. You can't possibly have a pop career. And, you know, my music is more successful and bigger than ever. So I've been very, very grateful for the tremendous love and support that we've gotten through the years. There's been a lot of hate too. You know, I guess I'm grateful for that as well, because without
haters, with the territory.
You're welcome.
Fuck you.
I'm sorry. I'm drowning in ears over here.
Is it ego that anytime he talks about the haters, I assume he's talking directly to us?
No, we're the biggest haters.
He knows. We've said this for a while. For a while,
he does know us as the PooCast.
He probably didn't know us
for a long time.
But he, once the YouTube steps, especially after the commentary of the movie documentary.
Yeah.
He knows who we are.
I mean, he talks about the haters. He recorded a cameo for us after that, too.
Well, I don't know if that was after that, though. It might have been before.
We're in his head.
He would record a cameo for us right now.
Yeah, maybe he would. Actually, you know, he did record a cameo, although, you know, he did when the one that I got when he was talking about N-Man.
Yeah.
So that was
that. We have multiple cameos from him.
Yeah, ask Limp Bizkit. Fred and Limp Bizkit would not exist if there were not haters.
Yep.
The reason they are as big as they are is because of the haters.
So it's
pretty crazy. And the same thing can be said for me. I mean, we did the Today Show. We made history. More people watched that performance than anything at any time in the history of the Today Show. It was over 1 billion views within a day.
A billion views.
There's no way.
I was so retarded that we had a video with billions of views.
Yeah, what video on YouTube even has a billion views? None?
Gangnam Style and shit, like Gangnam stuff like Style. That. I mean, it got a lot of views. It went viral, not for the right reasons.
PewDiePie, Mr. Beast, Corey Feldman on the Today Show.
I mean, it was historical.
When did you guys perform?
Yeah, when was that?
I like how they have no idea what he's talking about.
So, you music and shit?
It's going to be nonplussed.
I thought you were just a 90s star.
2016.
Okay.
And we did two performances on the Today Show. So the first one was such a big deal that they actually had to bring us back and do it again. So it was pretty cool.
Because it was so good.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. They brought him back because he was so bad. They thought they were giving him the chance for redemption.
So in 1942, the Allied soldiers showed up and released me from the internment camp. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool when they let me out of that gas chamber. I was alive, and I felt pretty cool.
Yeah, John McCain thought it was pretty cool when they saved him from the Japs.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool. He couldn't lift his arms up anymore. I delineated this a little bit for the outro because I cut out. There's this whole thing where he talks about the birthday movie again, but like it's the same exact story. Jordan Peele. We've heard it a million
times.
Shut up. Jordan Peele saw the Goofy movie. Not the Goofy movie, by the way. The Goofy Corey movie, and decided to re-release it. The birthday. It's a movie from 2004.
Jordan Peele's. What an interesting question to you. Not giving you accolades for all your work you'd done previously. Not asking.
Well, he did that too. He did that too.
Okay, but to ask you, what's your biggest loss? What's your biggest loss? What's your biggest regret? That's an interesting question.
Yeah. So,
this was his biggest loss.
His biggest loss.
My lips,
did not
man.
Know about Corey Haim.
He made my dream a reality. That's all I can say. I owe this man a lot. I'm so grateful, beyond grateful, that this movie is finally coming out and seeing the light of day. And I'm so pleased that you're all going to get to enjoy it. So I hope you do. And hopefully we can circle back and talk about all of this next time.
Come back and let's talk to you in the fall when the movie's out. We would love that.
I am the comeback king, you know.
Hey, we'll take it.
I don't know what that means. Good job. Yeah. Woo.
So you're just like, not going to answer the question?
Yeah, I'm really happy about all this.
I am the comeback king, you know. Huh? What does that mean?
All right.
Was that a movie?
Cool. I'm so happy for you.
I'm still wondering why you have a 22 necklace.
you're talking about your comeback from 8 years ago?
The reinvention king. That's a great lesson for our listeners. Yeah. Reinvent yourself over and over. Keep moving forward.
That's
and
right.
Congrats on the movie. Congrats. Yes. The Masked Singer. I mean, we can talk about that. You're promoting that as well, right?
Look, he's like,
well,
technically.
Yes, the Masked Singer's over, though. But
well, yeah. I like he's kind of like scared to bring it up that Corey's going to be mad that he's like, well, we could talk about the Masked Singer because we can't talk about Stand By Me or the Goonies.
Is that okay? From the chat, my favorite 80s movies are Stand By Me and the McDonald's Christmas Gift commercial. Shout out Lady Lumbug. Didn't send us ear money, but it's coming.
That's
and
right.
Congrats on the movie. Congrats. Yes. The Masked Singer. I mean, we can talk about that. You're promoting that as well, right?
Well, yes, the Masked Singer is over, though. But yes, everybody should always watch it on Fox every week.
Come on,
even,
I know.
Even and if you, I'm not on it.
You were so cute. You were the seal.
Oh,
you're
you.
So cute.
She's totally talking to him like a baby.
Yeah. You're the seal. Your outfit. Your outfit was great. I loved the costume.
She's licking her thumb and rubbing like food out of the corner of his mouth,
pushing his little long strand of hair away,
fixing his tie.
No, actually, it goes there. It has a special meaning to me.
Corey Haim saw this straight hair, Mom.
Oh, Corey Haim, he was great.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. It's a real treat to meet you and to chat with you.
I love that he didn't answer that question at all.
Good luck on the tour. Thanks for everything.
Thank you for having me, and God bless to you. And you guys have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you so much, buddy.
All right, guys.
Bye. Now, I kept a little of this because they do kind of address that he was like, yeah, he didn't want to answer my question. Like, he tries to be, he's very nice. He's not like mean about it or anything, but they do address it a little bit.
How wild was that? I mean,
I feel like I've known him my whole life.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think as soon as we knew that he was going to be coming on and we only had a really finite amount of time since he's in a big press tour today. It was like, where do we even begin?
At his
and
house.
He very quickly just clearly wanted to talk about.
Yeah, he shot me down. Listen, I can't talk
to
Corey Feldman.
Get him. I know. You
without
have to.
Talking about Stand By Me and Goonies and Lost Boys and Gremlins, I cannot have a conversation with him. I don't care what his PR team says.
Well,
I need to
PR team, of course. Yes,
no, we know her well.
I needed to ask him about it,
and he very quickly told you that that's
he said
I've the top of his.
But can you and I just talk for 1 second about like to work with Rob Reiner, Steven Spielberg?
Now that Corey Feldman's gone, can we talk about his career?
Could you answer his question for me?
As at the beginning of your career.
I know. Well, I looked at his IMDb page too, and he did tons of television work in the 70s. Like he was in all different sitcoms.
Anyways, yeah, that's all I got.
Or so as Corey Feldman call it, the 80s.
So yeah, there you go. That's Corey Feldman on the Hey Dude, the 90s called. And yeah, I mean, really it does prove that that's not a very good podcast, but Corey was definitely doing them no favors either.
Yeah. But Melody can still get it.
Well, what's funny is even hearing it at the end here, it's funny to hear them like pretend to be normal people. Cause they kind of don't even know how to like just talk like how a normal person's like, oh, I love this movie. I love that movie. Like it's just weird. There are basic things they didn't even know about.
Sure.
Like standard things. You'd think even being in Hollywood, you would hear about, like, you know, everyone's goofing on Corey Feldman. But then again, I guess you're just such in this bubble.
Yeah, maybe that was
but
our bubble.
But then again, I mean, they are older and they are parents. So I guess you're not like Jim and them where you see the latest memes.
You're like, oh, good. 3 hours worth of content.
Well, if they listen to the hottest meme cast around, they would know that. We're Rizzed Up streamers and they're clearly in the past.
Yeah, we're Rizzed Up streamers, the wokest meme Corey Cowboys,
well,
I guess.
We're a bunch of dank meme smiths.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dank.
Yeehaw.
The locker room of wait, what were we before though?
The Arctic Army of locker room goons,
meme cast, wokest. I don't know.
Stand by me ear, that you Stand by Me fake ear podcast.
Can we see the seal costume? I didn't see it.
I was gonna maybe save it because this part one's gone on too long.
Let's save it, baby.
Let's take a quick peek, though. Actually, unless is it possible they just don't have it online?
They've got to.
But it, but it's all gonna be people just saying, "Look at this idiot." Every video is gonna be someone commenting on it. Oh wait, is this the seal?
I think she was when she was calling him cute. I think she was just talking about the costume.
Yeah, she didn't mention anything about his performance.
Okay. All right, let's see. Hold on, I got to pull up for the chat.
I can't wait to hear his version.
I got to hear what the voice sounds like. Is he going to?
I think we should save the voice for part two. All right,
do you think we should just... Well, all right. Let's just take a quick peek at it.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll save the voice.
Because, yeah, we can't do that to ourselves. We should do that to ourselves.
So here's his costume, at least.
Uh-huh. He's a right. Seal.
Yeah, you know, we'll have to go on break. We got to go on break. It's been a while.
Fantastic. It's been a while.
And let me pull something up, though. Yeah, we'll be right back. That's part one. We're just taking a quick break. We'll be back for part two. Thanks, everybody.